This is Craig Hamilton from Grandstand Rugby League. Steve Mascord travels the world. He's the quintessential rock and roll rugby league reporter. He's been described as the Keith Richards of the game. Whether it's New York, Copenhagen, Dubrovnik, Mascord is there with his trusty tape recorder and a sharpened HB pencil. If rugby league played a match on Mars, Mascord would be there filing reports. Stay tuned. This is White Line Fever with Steve Mascord.
Welcome to episode 4 of White Line Fever, and we're actually in the Warriors coaches box at the Sydney Football Stadium. There are no coaches in here, but they are much nicer seats than we have in the broadcast box. They're a little bit higher. You must get a better view with higher seats. Now, this is one of those you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours arrangements. Brad Walter mentioned us in the Sydney Morning Herald on Friday, so now we've got him on the program. If you mention us in your publication, you can be on as well. Brad, what did you think of the game?
Mate, it was fantastic, wasn't it? And this is obviously where Ivan Cleary and the Warriors coaching staff, they would have been jumping out of their seat when Kristen Inu scored the winning try just minutes from full
time. It's so high, the seat, though. You don't have to jump very far, do you?
I reckon they would have been standing up, actually. Yeah, the ceiling's pretty high, too, which is good. But they would have just about been jumping out the window. It was unbelievable. I'm still stunned.
It was a massive turnaround from last Saturday night's game. 40-10, they got flogged. And Ivan Cleary, who was sitting in this very seat, he said last week that they didn't deserve a second chance. They were just lucky they got one.
Yeah, now they've got a third chance now, haven't they? And they're Ivan's finishes with the Warriors. He goes to Penrith and he's got the chance to maybe go out with a grand final or a premiership. He's one win away from the grand final. But he's done a fantastic job, hasn't he, for the Warriors. And next Saturday night, they're going to be going head-to-head with the All Blacks, apparently. There's about an hour's...
Whoever they are.
Yeah, whoever they are. what Ivan Cleary at the press conference was talking about, the lack of interest in the Warriors over there, if Namibia was playing Russia or something. obviously, pretty sarcastic about the interest that they've attracted, but I reckon it'll pick up. They're in all three grades, which is New South Wales Cup, under-20s, and the NRL, when they're one win away in all of them from a grand final.
He also said that they wanted to talk to the NRL this week about some refereeing decisions. Did you think that they're a little bit stiff? They're on the wrong end of some calls? What do you think?
I thought they were very stiff, actually. There were a couple, weren't there? Kevin Locke, the smallest bloke on the field, and he's come in and made a tackle around the legs, which, I don't know if I'm a big fan of that technique where players defenders hold a player up and then someone comes in and hits them around the legs and puts them down. But we've seen it all season, and if Kevin Locke gets penalised for that, then Cameron Smith's going to get penalised about five times next week, because he admits that he does it, and they've said it's legal.
Okay, well, this week's episode, last week was pretty much a lot of rock and roll. This week will be mainly football, but we've got a song coming up, new release from Chickenfoot called Bigfoot, and then after that we'll be back with Chris McQueen from South Sydney talking about his love for Metallica and Korn, and then we'll be having a chat to someone after the second elimination final between Brisbane and St George Illawarra. Thanks for coming on, Brad.
No worries. I thought you'd be playing Sheehat after the Warriors win there.
Oh, okay, maybe we'll we've already played Sheehat. We've only had like four episodes, and we've
play
already
again. Play again. They're great.
Okay, we'll have at some point in the program a Sheehat song requested by Brad Walter.
Don't you? Rusty from Electric Mary, and you are on White Line Fever.
Welcome back to White Line Fever. I've got Chris McQueen here of South Sydney Rabbitohs and possibly Australia. Prime Minister's 13. What's it like to make a rep team at this time of the year, Chris?
Oh, I was pumped, you know. I didn't expect anything like this to happen. I was just pretty happy to play first grade all year. To get named in the Prime Minister's squad, I was over the moon.
Now, I've been told that Ashton Sims is the NRL's leading Metallica fan, but I believe you can give him a run for his money.
Yeah, I think I probably can. got a big Metallica poster up on my wall, a frame poster, with the concert ticket, blue tack to the outside of that. I went to their concert end of last year in Sydney, and
How many times have you seen them?
I've only seen Metallica once, actually. Seen Korn a couple of times. I've seen them once in Brisbane and then once in Sydney at the end of last year as well. Pretty big fan of them as well.
Now, the Korn reference, H.G. Roy used to make a joke about calling Jonathan Davis the Welsh Wizard. Do you get that joke or not?
No.
Jonathan Davis used to play for Great Britain and Wales. He played for Canterbury and North Queensland, and he was pronounced Davis, and the singer of Korn's called Jonathan Davis.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you get it now?
I do get it now, yes.
How long have you been into Korn?
Since I was in primary school, end of primary school, I think probably year 7, I got my first Korn CD. So when was that? Long time ago.
What's it like in a footy club now where most of the guys probably aren't into rock and roll so much?
Yeah, I get a bit of a hard time. You know, they call me emo and that sort of thing and make jokes about me going home and cutting myself and stuff like that. So, but I don't mind. It's all pretty funny.
Now, we've all wanted to be a DJ. It's taken me about 20 years and no one's paying me yet. But now you get to be a DJ. You get to play a song, any song. What do you want to play, Chris?
Oh, any song. Well, it's got to be a Korn song. Probably Thoughtless.
Okay, here he is, the Welsh Wizard, Jonathan Davis with Thoughtless and Korn. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks.
I'm in bed with a That was Korn, as requested by Chris McQueen of the Prime Minister's 13 and also South Sydney. Now, I'm here in Brisbane with Barry, Andrew and Joel, and we're talking about the second elimination final because I was too busy working last night to find to collar anyone. We're in the Virgin Lounge. Do you like it, Andrew?
I love the Virgin Lounge. I love Virgin. Yes. They're wonderful supporters of Australia.
Now, Barry, tell us, how do you rate that game last night compared to others you've seen this year?
Classic.
Classic. What were your thoughts when Darren Lockyer went down?
I was a bit worried for him. Very worried. I think I still am.
Yeah, I think there's some major concerns, but we shouldn't go into it too much because we might know how he is by the time most people hear this. Or maybe we won't, Joel, because maybe they'll just keep us in the dark until kick-off against Manly on Friday.
Well, they could. Well, when he went down, obviously it was a worry, but when he got up, it was one of the scenes that you'll never forget in rugby league when that sea of Broncos fans just erupted. It was really a telling point of the evening.
If it was to be his last act in rugby league to kick the winning field goal 2 minutes into overtime, it'll be one that'll be talked about for a long time.
Oh, it'll be talked about anyway, his last game at Suncorp Stadium there. But look, their season really does hinge on his health, I think. If he's fit, Friday comes back into the mix next week, I think they're every chance to win it without him. Well, you'll probably get the red pen ready and they could be gone.
Yeah, well, that's what Wayne Bennett said. He said, I don't think they can win. Don't think they can win without Darren Lockyer. But, I mean, it's just amazing at the competition. We've created this competition that produces a contest like that. I mean, people like involved in other sporting competitions would look at that and go, how do they actually create the conditions to have... Because the Dragons were at their best last night, Andrew, really, weren't they?
For me, it's the best game of the year by far, because from start to finish, it was attacking footy. There were no mistakes, and the defence was brilliant. There were only, what, 4 tries in the game. So I can't remember an atmosphere as good as that for a club game either, because it was end-to-end stuff. And even though Brisbane looked dominant at times in the first half, Saints hung in there, and I thought Saints played the better of the two teams in the second half. And then the script was written for Lockyer to be the hero with that field goal. But not many sports can produce something like that.
If Lockie plays next week, to what extent are Manly and Melbourne the favourites? Like, are they only just favourites, or Melbourne are probably more pronounced than Manly, aren't they?
I think every year after the second week of finals, we tend to forget about the teams that have had the week off. So we're all leaving Brisbane raving about the Broncos, and rightly so. And likewise, the Warriors from the last Friday night. But for mine, Manly and Melbourne deserve to start favourites next week because they have been the best two teams all year. With Lockyer, you give Brisbane a big hope against Manly, but I would still be favouring Manly, I think.
Okay. Brad Balder was on Friday night, and he's demanded we play Shehad, even though it's only the fourth episode. We've already played one Shehad song. So here's Sport and Religion by Shehad, which we referred to in the second episode of the podcast.
I love Shehad.
You love Shehad?
I can't get enough Shehad.
Next time you're on, you can actually request a song. How would you like that?
Yeah, that'd make my whole career.
Not one of those jingles.
The Robertson Brothers? You're kidding. No, we'll give us some Shehad.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yeah. Wings. Hey, this is Johnny Toogood from Sheehan and the Adults, and you're with Steve on White Line Fever.
I bet you thought the show was over, didn't you? But there's actually a bit of housekeeping to do. That's what I hear on these professional podcasts. People have housekeeping. So I've got a new website for the program. It's called whitelinefever.ning.com. And you can actually sort of join up there, I think. I don't really know how it works. But you can join up there and we can. And there's like a forum and stuff like that. So I thought I might put up a little topic. Should Darren Lockyer be allowed to make the decision on whether he plays in the first preliminary final against Manly on Friday night, or should it be left to the doctors? So I'll put that up there, and please come over to www.whitelinefever.ning.com. I'm the Real Stevis on Twitter, and there's also a stevemascord.com Facebook page. I don't know why I've got all these things. No idea. But anyway, now, moving right along. On Sunday night in Sydney, I went and did something which might surprise some of you, but I'm not ashamed of it. I went to the Sydney Opera House and saw Bryan Adams. That's right, Bryan Adams. Now, I mean, Bryan Adams, Reckless, is probably the very first non-Kiss album I taped from Friends when I was in school. I really liked that record, and I really liked the next one particularly, which was Into the Fire. Now, unfortunately, I had to leave early with the Bryan Adams show. It was called a bare bones show, which means there was just him, harmonica, guitar, and a pianist. I'll say that again, pianist. There were just too many ballads. He was taking requests from the floor because he was filming it for a DVD. So I think he might have been showing off a little bit. And actually, on the way out, met the bagpipe player. One of the songs, I can't remember what it is, he has a bagpipe player comes in. And because of the extra songs, the bagpipes had been allowed to cool too much. They have to be played warm. And so the bagpipe player was quite disappointed because he thought his contribution would be taken out of the DVD because he couldn't play properly because he came on 20 minutes later than planned. Be that as it may, there was one highlight of the show for me, and thankfully it was before I left, and that was when he played Heat of the Night, which is the first single off Into the Fire, and I love that song, and I really liked the piano, guitar, stripped back delivery. I'll almost use the word awesome. So what I did is I just to maybe bore you, those of you out there who are bootleggers, I used my camera. I was far too far away to actually shoot the song, but there's pretty good audio on my camera, so I'm going to try and rip the audio off the track, and I'm going to try and play Heat of the Night by Bryan Adams. Now, this is one day going to be released on a DVD or maybe even an album, but it's fresh. It's only a few days old from the Sydney Opera House on Sunday night, and we'll be back next week. Thank you.
Russia might be playing in the media or something like that.